Do you want some fizzy waters?
Yeah, please. I'll get those, though.
Oh.
I'm trying to keep you off your foot.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is this the segment we've added where we review new fizzy waters?
Well, we can, since we can no longer indulge in the ahas.
So the Soleil that we had before was like the mojito something that tasted like celery?
Yep.
I'm sipping on the blood orange from Soleil.
I'm sipping on a mango. And it's actually one of my favorite fizzy water flavors I've had in a while. I do like the mangoes.
These are
very refreshing.
Both really good.
They're
both really good.
Now, I don't like the fact that Soleil doesn't really do, like, the combo flavors, which I really liked about the AHA.
Like the blueberry pomegranate and the passion fruit with whatever the passion fruit was
Those are really good.
I also would just really love to have a passion fruit fizzy water again from anybody. Like, I don't see those at our store at all.
It'd be nice. Yeah. Coke has officially lost our sponsorship, by the way, so they are on notice. Coca-Cola, if you want to get back on our good graces.
Bring back AHA!
Reach our millions of listeners.
Yep.
Because what Coke really needs right now is market exposure. There's not enough people that know about them.
You know, it's a shame they couldn't, like, work out a deal with, like, a big company like Disney or something.
No, not at all. I mean, it is the only product placement so far that we've had in the Percy Jackson series. Coke is mentioned by name several times.
Is it the only one, though? I feel like we've had...
I mean, we've referenced other things from, like, the real world, like Hannah Montana, or not Hannah Montana, Hillary Duff.
Yeah.
Reference like Hillary Duff. But no, as far as brand names go, the only thing I'm aware of is Coke.
Yeah, I think that you might be right. I think that's the only one.
Yep. Cool.
Hello, and welcome to Chronically Olympus, the podcast in which my co-host and I discuss the Percy Jackson and the Olympians series chapter by chapter, and today we are discussing chapter 10 of The Sea of Monsters. This chapter is called We Hitch a Ride with Dead Confederates.
A thing I generally try to avoid doing.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I am a zombie Confederate, also known as Kristen, and this is my co-host.
I just work at a donut shop.
Yeah.
It's a guy that works at a donut shop.
That's fair.
Also known as Chris.
How's the coffee at your donut shop?
It's all right.
All right.
I never got why people really, really, really like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I think it's fine. It's not, like, the best thing in the world.
I really like Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yeah. It's solid. Nothing wrong with it. I don't think it's, like, mind-blowing. Anyway. Hi. Welcome to the podcast. We haven't done this in a minute.
There you go.
Kristen, really? Why do you hate it so much when I...
Because it's literally the only thing that you say at the beginning of every single recording these days.
You know what? If we did them every other day, like I want to.
I feel like... I feel like you do. I feel like you are disappointed in yourself.
Yeah. We could be cranking 5 of these a week out. If we did this full time and we're, you know, had 1,000 people on Patreon. Anyway.
I would love to do this full time.
Yep.
I would love to do this.
You listeners can make that happen. You can make that dream come true for us.
For me. I don't think it's actually your dream.
We just need 1,000 of you to give us $5 a month and we can quit our jobs and do this full time. Cool.
For the moment, no. No, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't be enough because, like, the taxes on that as, like, a self-employed person would be much higher. And also, like, if the indication of what they're listing the next door... apartment is any inclination of what the rent is going to be over the next 3 years?
Yep.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. We're not going to think about that right now, though. We're having a good day off. We're enjoying a day off. We've already had cheesecake. It's like 12:30 in the afternoon, I've already eaten cheesecake. It means it's a great day.
Yeah, it's a great day for you.
Anyway, I'm over here day caking.
Day caking. Day caking. Good golly.
It's like day drinking, but somehow more obese.
Takes the cake.
Yep, really does. Anyway, would you like to get into this?
Sure.
What do we do first, Kristen?
Well, we've met our requisite banter.
Yep.
So what we do first is we read the summaries that we wrote.
Cool.
As Chris and I read through the chapter, we do a bullet point summaries of the chapter, and then we read them.
Cool. Who's going first?
Why don't you go ahead and go first?
All right.
I took some inspo from your style.
Oh, hey, I'm influencing
for
you.
For mine today.
Just call me an influencer.
Okay.
Or don't. Here's my summary. Use the wind, Percy. Chiron is really enjoying his retirement. Annabeth finally thinks Percy is cool. One of these hideouts would have been really nice in the last book. New podcast idea, Monster Donut. Knew we'd get a Hydra fight at some point. Look, another boat. And Clarice redemption arc?
There you go. I didn't include anything about Chiron in mine. All right. Here's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Canned air is powerful stuff. Are we seriously still running from authorities? I thought we were friendly with the Coast Guard. Annabeth knows a place.
Mm-hmm.
We get a little more backstory. Oops, we summoned a donut shop? Here comes the Hydra from the movie. Percy forgets how Hydras work. Typical. Clarice, like a true daughter of the God of War, saves the day in a Confederate battleship.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what happens. Shall we go through the chapter and talk about it? Because that's why we're here.
Sure.
So we escape the Princess Andromeda by falling off of it in a stolen lifeboat.
Yes.
We open the can of air, the wind thermos.
Yep.
And we open it about a quarter turn, and that is enough to blow us clear of the boat and start us going.
On a 45-degree crash course for the water.
Yeah, and we're going real fast. I know we mentioned how fast we're going at some point. I don't know off the top of my head, but we are
over 100 knots at one point.
Yeah, in a rubber lifeboat, which seems like unsustainable for the hull of that craft.
Yeah.
It seems like they're not really designed to go that fast. And
oh, definitely.
Probably wouldn't work great. But
it would be really weird if there was, like, you know, somebody with some water powers that could make that a less rough pass. Oh yeah. Percy's there.
Would be crazy. Anyway, so as they're racing across the sea, we decide to do an iris message. We're bringing back that old chestnut.
Yep.
And we IM Chiron with a spotty connection because, you know, we're moving really fast and, like, the mist, I guess, isn't perfect for iris summoning. But we get a hold of Chiron anyway, who is in the middle of a nightclub. Or something.
He talks about his family.
Uh-huh.
And so it seems like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, the centaurs are just, like, partying it up with Bacchus or something.
Apparently,
you know?
they party hard. But, yeah, there's weird strobe lights. There's blaring music. There's people whooping and hollering in the background. Like,
a bottle gets thrown into the iris message.
Yeah. Like, Chiron's really enjoying his retirement, apparently. But from what
does he seem like he's actually enjoying it, or does he seem like he's tolerating it?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it's a weird vibe for them to just, like, be like, hey, Chiron, we rely on you. Where are you?
Yeah.
Are you someone we can rely on right now?
Are you sober?
Yeah.
And through this body connection, he gives, like, part of a conversation, and we get a couple snippets of
you shouldn't have left the camp.
Yeah.
Annabeth, how could you let him leave?
Yeah.
Make sure that you remember.
Yeah, something.
Or, yeah, it's important that.
Yeah, but if you do get the fleece, cuts off.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's going to say, but then he says something about Miami, I'll try to keep watch. So maybe he's in Miami, and they're supposed to meet him there.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, got to go to Florida at some point in this
That's week. Where Grover was.
Yeah.
No, was he in Miami?
He was in St. Augustine.
He was in St. Augustine.
That's where he gets captured, apparently. Anywho, so then Chiron cuts out. We spot land. We've made it to Virginia Beach somehow. Apparently the cruise ship was going way too fast. Because we've made it from, you know, off the coast of New Jersey to, or New York, New York City area to Virginia in overnight.
Yeah.
Which is pretty darn fast for a cruise ship.
Yeah.
But, hey, Annabeth says it's Virginia Beach. We learn in this chapter that apparently Annabeth is from Virginia. I don't know. I don't think we talked about it in the last book, but we get some Annabeth lore.
Does she say she's yes. from Virginia?
Yeah. Okay. She is from Virginia, so she knows about this place. And Percy apparently knows everything about maritime navigation.
Yeah, this is new.
Uh-huh.
Because he's just like, I know where we are.
This is yet a new Percy power.
Yep.
So, as long as he's on the water, he knows exactly where everything is.
In the ocean.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to be fair, wasn't necessarily something that he needed to find out in the previous book, because he wasn't in the ocean for longer than, like,
yeah,
2 hours total at the very end of the book.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Like,
especially for him to just know coordinates.
Yeah.
And not just, like, we're 200 nautical miles off the coast of Virginia.
Yeah. And since he already knows the coordinates of where they need to get to, like, he knows exactly how to get there.
Yeah. It's very convenient.
As long as there aren't any challenges along the way, which I'm sure there won't be. So anyway, so Percy knows exactly where they're at. They are going super fast, passed by a Coast Guard boat, which apparently is very intrigued by a dinghy going like 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, something with no motor in it. Just
yeah, kind of weird. They pass that right by. They go into Chesapeake Bay because Annabeth apparently knows the place, as he put down. And as soon as we get into fresh water, Percy's powers stop working. So
and
that's
he
new
is exhausted.
Yeah,
like he's been using his powers this whole time.
Yes.
And putting in an effort when he hasn't consciously been putting in any effort.
Now, I want to talk about the weird breakdown of, like, how Percy's powers work. Because in the first book, we have him control fresh water. He breathes in fresh water. He gets healed by fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like fresh water works for all of his water powers that involve, like, manipulation of it, healing, etc., etc. But it's not navigation.
Yeah.
So if he's in freshwater, if he's in a freshwater bay, nope, have no idea where we are, and we're exhausted.
Yep.
Which I feel like doesn't conflict with what we know about his abilities so far, but it's weird.
It is weird. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, Poseidon, yes, Lord of the Ocean, so lakes not really his thing.
Yeah.
But which god do we have to go to for lakes?
Yeah.
And
at what point does a lake become a sea?
Yeah. We've had this discussion many times.
We really have.
When does a pond become a lake?
Yep. When does a puddle become a pond?
Yep. Anyway, these are the exciting conversations we have in our personal lives, listeners, that you just miss out on.
Yep.
It's just thrilling. So Annabeth directs them into the bay, and she knows a place to go. They dock the boat, they cover it up to hide, and then Annabeth leads them into the swamp, where they find a little makeshift sheltery thing. Like a little teepee, like canvas tent type thing, full of supplies, sleeping bags, blankets, weaponry.
I don't
weaponry.
Think at any point it says it's made out of canvas. I think it is a hide that is built that seems like it would be waterproof.
The walls were woven from plant material like a Native American hut. Sorry, I told you the wrong material for the fictional shelter they find.
Mm-hmm.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Anyway, so they find this place, and Annabeth tells them about how apparently there is a bunch of these things that they made when they were kind of, when she was tooling around with Thalia and Luke.
And I would like to know,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote this down, Okay, but how did these three kids have the resources to set up all these hides?
Yeah.
Because they build this out of what's available in the environment. But yeah. They also have a cooler, multiple bronze spear tips, arrows,
yeah,
sleeping bags.
Swords.
Where they all of that stuff? Here. And it's like, yeah, Luke is like
a thief. Yeah.
But like, why would they build all of these hides mm-hmm. and leave them stocked in this way? As if, like, I just, how?
Yeah.
How is the core of my question, how?
Yeah. And are you, like, assuming this is mainly Luke and Tholia, because at the time, Annabeth would have been, like, 6, 7. So I can't see a 7-year-old being terribly helpful in setting up wilderness shelters. I've known 7-year-olds. I don't know. Maybe demigods are more useful than human children.
Maybe.
But, sure. Annabeth tells Percy about they've had these scattered all over the place, and she's like, don't worry about it. Luke probably doesn't even remember where these things are.
Nor would he care.
Yeah. Percy gets jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous is italicized.
Yeah, because he starts to say that he's like, he feels some kind of way about it, and then identifies it as jealousy.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it, because they're friends. I hope that this isn't, like, a romance thing. I really hope this isn't a romance thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it stays friends, because, like, yeah, I would absolutely be jealous of that level of friendship with somebody else who's, like, my bestie.
Yeah. I mean, also, as we said at the time, she was 7, so, like...
Yeah. This is why I stole your best friend.
Yeah. It would be really weird if it was a romance thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the story goes there at some point, but...
No, it doesn't have to.
It
doesn't have to. It doesn't have to.
I know you don't want it, but it does happen. Anyway... So, they need a word, so Percy asks Tyson to go off into the woods and look for donuts, and we're taking advantage of the fact that he's dumb.
He says, go look for a wilderness convenience store.
Yep, go get some powdered donuts, and Tyson wanders off. And so then Percy and Annabeth have a little chat. Percy is just like, yep, sorry we saw Luke, that couldn't have been easy, you guys used to be friends, etc., etc. Hey, we probably fell into a trap because, like... We got away way too easy from the ship.
Yeah.
So.
And she was. And we once again have Percy being smart and mm-hmm. saying something like, we got away too easy. And Annabeth being like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Also, could Percy not have, like, pulled up some of the water to, like, create a ramp for them? Without having to open the wind?
Yeah.
Or, like, throw up a wall of water between them and the people throwing spears at them?
Yeah. I mean, you're running into the issue that you run into with almost every fantasy setting, unless you're doing, like, a very low magic scenario like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I mean, they needed, like, the wind in order to be able to propel the boat.
Yeah.
But also, like, did they, though?
Yeah. But, like, any character that, like, can use magic in a setting... You can write away any plot point with it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, why didn't this character just do this? It's like that comes up a lot in the Harry Potter series. Why didn't they just use magic to do this thing, which magic can obviously do?
Yeah.
I've also heard the opposite argument for Harry Potter. Specifically, this is not a Harry Potter podcast, but I've heard the other argument on the other side of the coin of just like, why did nobody just get a gun and shoot Voldemort at some point?
Yeah, have a low magic solution.
Yeah, somebody just take him out with a freaking rifle. Great questions all. But it's the UK, they don't have guns. So anyway, they talk about this question about whether Tholia would have gone along with Luke and how Luke's wrong with about this, and we get a little bit more backstory of their relationship, Annabeth and Thalia's and Luke's and their whole thing. And Annabeth hints at something about Cyclopses being involved, and the real story of Thalia's death.
Yeah.
And I don't remember from the first book how we said Thalia died.
That something about her sacrificing herself to protect them so that they could get back to camp.
Yeah.
We don't ever talk about what it is that she's defending against, what monsters are chasing them.
Yeah.
And that Zeus saved her by turning her into a tree to protect the camp.
And, like, we could assume it's a cyclops based on...
But, like, how was the camp protected before the tree?
That's a great question.
Anyway, go ahead.
I guess we can assume it's a cyclops based on Annabeth's trauma, but she also says something very interesting, which is you can never trust a cyclops.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're going to learn more about this at some point, but, like, maybe they had an ally who was one who turned on them, like...
Yeah.
Something. Who knows?
Possible. Yeah. Possible. And I feel like there is going to be something along those lines.
Uh-huh. And there is a secret fourth member of their group that they don't talk about, who was the betrayer. So.
Maybe. Again, cyclopses are going to be descendants of Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I'm.
Cool. And this conversation is cut short because Tyson comes back with donuts. He's found some.
Powdered donuts, even.
Crazy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Somehow Tyson manifested donut shop.
No sprinkles, though.
No. Tyson apparently is the most powerful character in this entire series.
Again.
Really, really don't want to mess with this guy. He can just will a donut shop into existence. Like, what else can he do?
Yeah.
So he comes back, and then we cut to them looking at a donut shop, and Annabeth being like, this is a problem. I agree. They're in the middle of the woods. There's a place called Monster Donut.
Yep.
Seems like foreshadowing.
It does.
And then we go into a really fun little explanation of how chain restaurants work.
A little anti-chain restaurant. Vaguely. I mean, it's not anti-capitalist, but it's anti, like, big corporation.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Little dialogue from Reardon.
Yeah. And we explain how this works where I don't get the logic because they're just like, oh yeah, this is, you know, have you ever wondered how, like, these chain restaurants pop up overnight and how they're everywhere and how they're all the same?
Because she calls it a nest, too.
And she's like, because they're tied into a source of a monster's power. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't get I genuinely was just like, is this just, you know, Reardon's version of C.S. Lewis's diatribes against education?
Maybe. He's really
modern
against...
modern education. Like, Reardon's very against chains.
He hates fast food. She does make a reference. She says, some children of Hermes figured out how to do it back in the 1950s, which I'm assuming is a reference to McDonald's, because that's when McDonald's started as a chain, was the 50s. So.
Yeah.
You know, the,
maybe.
God, the brothers, what were they going to name? Anyway, there's a couple of brothers that started the original McDonald's, and they were Hermes kids, apparently.
Okay.
So, there you go. And then, as they're discussing the evils of chain restaurants, they hear a thing behind them. Look, moving through the trees, there's a big thing. It's a hydra.
Oh, we're just gonna say it's a hydra.
We're just gonna say it's a hydra.
We have...
A baby hydra, probably.
Probably. I mean, it doesn't... I don't remember it saying that in the book, but, like...
Well, it's... on each of its necks, it's wearing a bib that says, I'm a monster donut kid. So...
Yeah, valid. When we watched the movie mm-hmm. before the show was even announced...
Yeah.
When we watched the movie for the first book,
yes.
Instead of having them fight the Chimera in St. Louis,
yes.
They had to fight a Hydra in, like,
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Which is a weird choice.
Was it D.C.?
Yeah. Because they go inside it's like in the Lincoln Memorial or something.
It was in some memorial, but it was a memorial that was, like, in the middle of a grass lawn shaped like the Parthenon. I thought it was, like, they were in, like, Athens, Illinois or something like that.
Maybe. I thought it was D.C., but I could be wrong. Okay. I've been wrong about things before. beg me to admit that. I know. On record.
Oh, I have a list.
Christian's just going to save this audio clip, and occasionally when I say something, she's just going to play it on her phone. I've been wrong about things before.
I'm going to turn it into, like, a song.
Uh-huh.
Do a little auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
They're really going to make me vote for I've been wrong before.
Yep. Anyway, so Percy's immediately going to reach for his sword. Annabeth's like, wait, no, don't, because we don't want the attention. Also, if anybody knows anything about how Hydras work, you don't sword them. Because if you sword them, it makes more Hydra.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you don't sword the Hydra.
Yeah.
Also, we have this reference once again to the fact that monsters typically have poor eyesight. Which we have not established in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we encounter a single monster with poor eyesight in the first book.
Yeah, I don't think that's an established part of the lore. This is new.
They have, and I think that it's just here to reiterate how Grover has hidden from the Cyclops and convinced the Cyclops that he's a Cyclops lady.
Yeah.
Wearing a, like, goat perfume.
Yeah. Well, obviously he doesn't have, like, any kind of depth perception, so that helps.
Yes, that helps. But, like, a Hydra arguably has the best depth perception.
Yeah, it's got a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah. I guess does each head have its own eyes and brain attachment? Yeah. Are they communicating in some way?
Is it a communal organism?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
Have to dive into that, like, maybe in a rewrite or something.
Let's talk about the science of how Hydras work.
Yeah.
Anyway, was that foreshadowing, or did you dive into that in a rewrite?
No. Okay. Yes, I did.
Okay. No. Yeah. Yeah. It was me.
Yeah.
It's me.
No, hi. Yeah. It's me. Hi. I'm the Hydra.
Anyway, so Hydra attacks. Apparently, it has, like, acid breath. Problematic.
No, it's acid spray.
And Annabeth.
They're very different.
Annabeth yells, scatter. We all go different directions. We have a...
Tyson freezes.
Yep.
He is skilled.
Yep. We have a Hydra fight scene where...
Percy makes the typical error that Percy, we can always rely on him to make.
Yep.
By making the situation worse.
Yep. Cuts a head off. Two more Hydra heads pop out. Annabeth's just like... Percy, you're stupid. You just opened another donut shop because that's how that works.
And again, like, it's even more confusing when she says that.
Because, like, are all of the monsters...
Did this one open because somebody out there cut off a head before? Like, at the exact same time that, like, Tyson was out looking for a donut shop?
Who the heck knows?
I don't understand it. Like, I need to reread this chapter, just, like, at least this section of it, just to be like, what is he trying to get at with the monsters, you know? And the donuts, and the nests, and the spawn dropping, and all of this. Like,
yeah.
How?
No idea. So anyway, Annabeth shouts that we need to have some kind of fire, because that's how we defeat the Thane, because they're vulnerable to fire damage.
Fortunately, Tyson's invulnerable to fire, so it would be really great if they had some of those flaming dodgeballs again.
It would, but they don't. They don't have any fire abilities. They didn't plan for that in the survival hut, I guess.
Yeah.
That they need fire of any kind. Weird.
Well, also, the Hydra, when they spot it, it's eating one of their duffel bags.
Yes.
So some of their resources are going to be gone.
Yeah. So Tyson rushes in, starts, like, playing whack-a-mole with the Hydra heads. Just,
his fists move so fast.
They do. And then they hear a noise. So they hear a noise. They hear some kind of chug, 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 because they backed up to a river, and they hear something coming on down the way. And then they hear some voices shouting, a familiar voice, shouting something about loading the 32-pound gun.
Yes, and Percy goes that if that voice is the one I think it is, we have enemies on both sides now.
Yep. And then there is a earth-shattering kaboom, and the Hydra blows up.
Yep.
Somebody shot it with a frickin' cannon.
Yep.
Well, and then they turn around. Tyson gets real excited that it's a steamship, in fact.
Yep.
It is an old, we see an old Confederate-era Ironside.
The CSS Birmingham.
Yep. And a bunch of undead soldiers on top. And who else do we have? You're supposed to answer that.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
The zombies?
Who else is with the zombies?
I'm sorry. I got lost for a second in reading. Because,
Who else is on the boat, Kristen?
Clarice.
Cool. That's Clarice? All I was trying to get you to do.
Yes, sorry. Clarice. Uh-huh. It's Clarice. Whoo, it's Clarice.
Yep.
That said, though, I want to go back a little bit. We have them ducking the Hydra. They're prepared the 30-pounder. I figured we now had enemies on two fronts.
Yeah.
The voice that replies says, "They're too close, m'lady." And the reply from the voice, which is Clarice, says, "Damn the heroes, full steam ahead, fire at will, Captain."
Yeah.
And so she literally is just like, shoot the thing, I don't care about them.
Yep.
And so they dodge. Annabeth tells them to hit the dirt. They dodge. They get covered in green slime from the Hydra.
Luckily not acidic.
Fortunately not acidic. Like, my immediate thought was like, it's going to explode into a acid cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Or puddle. Depending on whether it's, you know, breath acid or, you know,
uh-huh.
spray acid.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like, why is Clarice here? I know we're going to explore it further in the next chapter. Why is Clarice here? How is she here? Why is she partnered with these guys? Like, yes, she's the daughter of the God of War, so it makes sense that she's on a warship.
Yes.
Like,
and it was her quest. They gave her the quest.
Oh, I guess that is true. Had she left already, though?
No.
Okay.
But she is on a quest, officially.
So how'd she get all the way to Virginia already?
I mean, she's on a ship, like an undead Confederate warship. Like, do we need to ask ourselves these questions?
Yeah, I guess.
How'd Percy get to Virginia already?
On a magical cruise ship.
Uh-huh. And Clarice is just like, yep,
get in, losers.
Get in, losers. Come aboard.
We're going shopping.
She technically rescues him. I am 98% sure that we have a Clarice redemption arc in the book at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Now, I'm also, in my baseless speculation, I'm also 95% sure that they're going to do the Disney thing, and her redemption arc is going to culminate in her dying.
Clarice, I don't think Clarice is going to die. Not in this book.
Well, not in this book, no, but at some point in the series, I think she dies.
Fascinating. I don't know.
Yeah. She dies saving one of them, and that's her little redemption story.
Hmm.
Or she dies defying Ares or something.
I don't know. I feel like I would be really surprised.
Yeah.
So, you think Clarice is going to die. I'm sure there's going to be a redemption arc. I think she's going to join the party.
Mm-hmm. I feel like of the major characters that we know about so far, she's the most likely one.
To die?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because I don't think they ever kill any of the big three. Like, I mean, obviously Percy survives. There's two more books coming out.
Yeah.
I don't think they kill Annabeth or Grover at any point.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they're going to kill any. He's going to kill any of the big three.
Uh huh.
But I definitely like. I don't know. It's just weird. It's. I don't think that Clarice is going to die. I hope. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the chapter. What shall we do next? Our favorite sentence.
Sure.
Okay, I actually have one. I wrote one down.
You did?
Yep.
He says as he reaches for his book and flips through instead of looking at his notes.
Because I wrote down part of it so I could remember what sentence it was. All right. I did my summary first, so you can go ahead and do your sentence first if you'd like.
Sure. My favorite sentence was, He swatted the mosquitoes that were forming a buffet line on his arm.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
It's your experience in Florida right there.
Yep.
Anyway, so mine was also about Tyson. My favorite sentence is, I will look for powdered donuts in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is Kristen's camping experience any time that I've ever taken her out into the wilderness, is I'm going to look for powdered donuts.
Yep. That's.
We'll find something.
I'm here to look for donuts. That is why I'm here.
Yeah, even though you don't like donuts.
I like donuts.
You like the powdered donuts, that's true.
I mean, I prefer the chocolate-coated ones, but like, the powdered donuts are nice.
My issue with those is that like, they're good for like a day and then they get slimy and weird. It's like, you buy a bag of those and you can eat like five of them and then the rest of them get gross.
Oh, that's why you eat the whole bag.
Of course. How could I be so foolish?
You don't buy more than you're going to eat.
So anyway, what's next?
That's what I have you for, to finish the bag.
What's our next segment?
It's going to be our rewrites.
Cool. Who's going first?
Great question. Mine's pretty short. Yours also looks pretty short. So you want to rock, paper, scissors for it?
Sure.
On shoot.
Yep.
Ha ha, I go first.
Cool.
Rock, beat, scissors.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So after Chris and I read the chapters, we rewrite the chapter from a different perspective. And we do this as like a creative exercise, also to kind of explore the world a little bit more and like share a little bit of our insight into the world and what we're creating together.
You make this sound very highbrow.
And also like just to move the camera. Like this is a fun little, you know, creative exercise since we don't do enough creative things. So. I did two different rewrites, so I'm going to go ahead and give you my first one, which is much shorter.
Go for it.
That's my impression of the wind. As it's released, it's described as laughing.
Yep.
That
laughing wind, huh?
Yep. That was some laughing wind.
Cool.
Just
great
propelling that boat along.
Very, very avant-garde storytelling we're doing right now.
So would you like to do yours and then I'll do my real one or okay. So here is my actual rewrite.
Cool.
But yes. Avant-garde storytelling. But yeah. All right, here we go. Yes, life. I am born of destruction, but I am here as part of the fullness of a family. Seven before me, and in the death of one comes two, my twin and I. We will avenge the one who fell before us. We fight in unity as one. The three we chase will never know such harmony, such singularity of purpose and will. The fools run as we herd them to the water's edge. I can smell their sweat, their fear. What is that in the water? What monster is this floating excrescence? It is our death.
I like that one.
This is why when you said that it was like a baby, mm-hmm. I was like, no, I didn't picture it as a baby at all.
It's fun. I liked it. I was, to pull back the curtain, listeners, I was also there when Kristen was just like, hey, what's another word for monstrous? So you've successfully used a word in your rewrite that I have never heard before. That is an English word that I learned today. So, there you go. We're learning things.
Huzzah.
Oh. Would you like me to do mine?
No.
Okay. Well, take us out.
All right. Thank you so much for trying. No, please.
All right. So, here's my rewrite as a donut shop employee, because we do mention there's a employee in the donut shop, just reading a magazine.
Yep.
Watching all this unfold.
Maybe. So. Maybe not.
Here's my rewrite. So I guess I wanted something low-key, you know? Just to take my mind off things. Ever since the divorce, I feel like I've just been kind of drifting. So I left a six-figure government job for donuts. Always liked eating them. Why not make them, you know? So I applied at the old MDs, and despite being wildly overqualified, they hired me. They said I'd be opening a new location in Virginia Beach, which I figured, hey, pasty white tourists and their chubby kids all day, but I wanted something different. Right? I didn't imagine showing up my first day to a shop in the middle of the woods. I certainly didn't imagine seeing a bunch of preteens attacking an errant dumpster in the parking lot. And forgive me if I didn't see it coming when said trash receptacle was blown up by some Civil War reenactors on board an honest-to-God's Ironside. But I didn't hate it. I don't know if I could do this forever, but I'll do it as long as it takes.
I like it.
Cool. Anyway, cool. Yeah. So, that's my rewrite.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it. I like your insight into the mind of just, like, you know, a divorced dude who left a six-figure job.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, you know, watch some kids fight a dumpster.
Yeah. Well, my character is basically Casper from Midnight Burger. That's the yes. voice I was going for.
Okay.
So.
I like it.
Which, listeners, if you like narrative podcasts, go give that one a listen. It's one of our favorite podcasts. Totally check them out.
Fantastic podcast. Yeah. Yes.
Cool. Now that
we get a new season soon.
We do, next month. We can probably listen to some of that on a road trip, or at least maybe one episode if it comes out in the first week of April.
Yeah,
but it is,
that'd be awesome.
It is coming out in April.
Woo-hoo!
We are taking a road trip next month, listeners, so
we're
excited about that.
Woohoo!
We might do a record. No, we're not going to do a record. No. Anyway, it's like we're not going to do a record in Utah.
No.
Anywho, would you like to take us out, Kristen?
All right. Wait. I had two more things.
Okay.
One, the chapter title. We hitch a ride with dead Confederates. Once again, we have the title not actually coming true until the very last, you know, like, sentence.
Correct.
Of the chapter. The other thing that I wanted to say was, we kind of breezed over it a little bit, but Luke absolutely is planning to have them get the fleece and steal it from them.
Oh, probably.
To bring back Tartarus dude.
Yeah. I mean, he's the fleece thief.
And he knew that poisoning Thalia's tree would force them to go look for a way to cure her.
I don't know if he did, but that sounds like a Tartarus plan to me.
Yeah. But either way.
I don't know if Luke has that much foresight.
That's the plan. And we have a handle on it. Like, the kids have some grasp of it, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, now that you brought up the plot hole, I can't stop thinking about, like, how did the camp survive before Thali was there 7 years ago?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, there's...
What'd they do before that?
What did they do? Yeah.
So... Cool.
All right. That's all. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you all so much for listening today as we discussed chapter 10. Yes, 10. Thank you so much for joining us today as we discussed chapter 10 of The Sea of Monsters. Join us next time as we discuss chapter 11, Clarice Blows Up Everything. Until next time, you can follow us on social media at Chronically Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us your fan art of a Hydra wearing some little bibs.
Adorable.
At chronicallypodcast@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon to get access to our listen-along episodes from the Percy Jackson Disney Plus show. As we have those episodes all posted there. And that is patreon.com/chronicallypodcast. And yeah, things, stuff, words. Thanks, guys.
Until next time.
Until next time. Always carry a source of fire with you in case of a Hydra attack.
Mine was going to be kill it with fire. darn.
Kill it with fire!
Don't eat woodland donuts.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I don't see a lot of fae traps, but when I do, they look like donut shops in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Much, much more dangerous to me than you, but...
Yes. Much more tempting for you. But, anyway.
Bye. Shall you do the intro?
Shall I?
Mm-hmm.
I shall.
Okay.
There's a plane. How is the best case scenario, Joe Biden?
Yep. Hello, this is me talking louder.
Excellent.
This is a test of the love bug affection system.
This is a test of the volume control on the love bug.
How are you, Kristen?
I'm tired. How are you?
Good. How do we, how
I picked up like two extra shifts this week, so my body's very tired.
Okay. We're doing all of our bantering before our intro. We should probably do the intro first.
Oh, I can cut the intro to the beginning.
Wow, this. The magic of editing. Crazy.
That's the sound of magic. It requires the hand motions as well, though, so...
Listeners, I know you couldn't see those, but they were,
magical.
Yep. Inspired. Fantastical, even. Anyway...